Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devotions. Today's chapter is Romans chapter 10. Let me read this for us and I'll share some thoughts. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. And Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. In yesterday's chapter, we talked a little bit about Paul's heart for those who don't yet know Jesus, how his heart is in anguish for those knowing that there are some who will reject the good news. In today's chapter, we get to what feels kind of like a response to that anguish, a sort of application to how we should respond to this reality. Paul spends some of the beginning parts of it explaining how salvation comes through a confession of faith in your heart with your mouth. As in, it doesn't require any sort of ritual or anything like that. It's not about our own works or creating something. Rather, what it really ultimately takes is to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you will be saved. And the great thing is that everyone, Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In light of this, Paul asks a set of rhetorical questions. He says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now you could read this and think, oh yeah, I definitely agree. You know, we need people to preach the good news. And so good luck to you, Pastor Chan, on preaching the good news. Since, after all, preaching isn't for regular folk to do. You need to be a pastor, right? Well, not quite. Sure. Preparing and giving a sermon during a Sunday service may be one of the responsibilities of a pastor, but the general act of preaching the good news is actually everyone's responsibility. The word for preach in the Greek, so the word used here, is the word keruso, which means to proclaim or announce. So Paul isn't saying that the way people hear the good news is through inviting people to church to hear a pastor give a sermon, or sharing a link to a sermon to a non-Christian friend to watch. Those can be ways for which people hear and receive the good news, but he's saying on a broader level that all of us, as those who have come to know the love of Jesus, all of us, we must go and proclaim that good news of Jesus Christ. Because this message of salvation is for all, and all must hear it so that they may believe. Maybe that makes you a little bit confused then. Okay, like all of us are called to preach the good news. What does this proclaiming look like then? Well, it can actually look like a lot of different things. And again, yes, it can look like your standard Sunday sermon, but there's a lot more to proclaiming the gospel. It can also be a personal testimony of what God has done in your life, whether it be a story of your salvation or just really what God has been doing on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. It can be a one-on-one conversation about faith where you talk about Jesus. It can be done in the form of actions like exhibiting Christ-like sacrificial love by serving others or showing hospitality or exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. You know, things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on, in a context where most people might not respond in those ways. Proclaiming the good news can happen by going on missions to different cities or different countries even, and providing for spiritual needs by talking about Jesus while also serving the physical needs of the community. And it can also happen right here, in our city, in our neighborhood, in the very building you live or work in. Whatever it looks like, wherever it's done, what's common across the board is that each of us is called to do this. Each of us is called to be those who preach the good news and point people to the life that is only found in Jesus. Now, I've been in the church long enough to know that most Christians probably know this, but not everyone actually acts on it. And there could be a bunch of reasons for that. Fear of rejection, fear of not knowing what to say, or fear of judgment. I guess a lot of it tends to revolve around fears. And you know what? All those things, they're definitely possible. It's possible to be rejected. It's possible to stumble over your words. It is possible to be ostracized and judged. But as the saying goes, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Or if we were to approach it from a more biblical approach, as it says in Romans, again, how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Basically, how are people supposed to hear it if nobody tells them? And on a personal level, how are we to grow in this if we don't try? Several years ago, before I moved to Boston, a few friends and I went on a prayer walk around our campus. And as part of our prayers, we asked God to lead us to people with whom we could potentially share the gospel. At one point, we saw a guy in his 20s or 30s sitting at a table by himself, and we decided that I would go and strike up a conversation with him. Long story short, that conversation, it felt like a disaster. I got really nervous, and so I fumbled over my words, kind of forgot what I was trying to say, and the whole time I just kind of awkwardly hovered over him while he was sitting. Eventually, he stopped me. He was very patient and kind about it, and he basically said, "Hey, man, I think what you're doing is cool, but if you're going to do it, be confident." The guy, he wasn't rejecting me, but I felt a little bit embarrassed. We eventually sat down and had a conversation about faith that ended up being actually okay. And at the end of it all, he didn't come to faith on the spot, and I have no way of knowing what's happened since then. I hope he did come to know Jesus in some way, maybe not through me necessarily, but I do hope he came to know Jesus. But regardless, I know that this was helpful for me, even if it was quite humbling, because it did help me to grow through experience. I hope all of your experiences in proclaiming the gospel, whether in the past or in the ones to come, I hope they're much less awkward than mine was. But regardless, the important thing is that we do go, and we seek to make Jesus known, both through our words and our actions, proclaiming the good news in these ways. I hope that we can have a sense of urgency in sharing with our friends, our neighbors, classmates, and coworkers, so that all will hear the word, believe it, and receive salvation. And so, especially with Easter approaching, I really hope that each of us will consider who we can pray for, and if it allows for it, who we can invite to our Easter service, that we would have this heart, that we would go and proclaim the good news to those around us, that rather than hiding it, making it just like a Sunday thing or a church-specific kind of thing, that our whole lives would proclaim the good news of Jesus, that they might believe and know and have this life that we have received. So let me pray for us to close out. Father, we thank you for the life that we have in you. We thank you for the good news of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people who go, people who go and proclaim the gospel through our words and our actions, whether that's explicitly just laying out the truths of the gospel or maybe in more indirect kind of ways where we make you still known through our words and actions. And Lord, I pray that especially with Easter approaching, that you would bring to heart, bring to mind people in our lives who you, Lord, are opening doors for us to pray for and to invite to service, or at the very least, catch up with and talk about you with, Lord. Because again, this is not just some kind of duty or mandate. I mean, it is, but Lord, this is a way to lead people to life. And so God, I pray that in whatever form this takes shape, and whatever the immediate outcomes of it, whether it goes well and someone actually comes to faith in the moment, or maybe we feel like things didn't go so great, that we would follow through with a heart of love, a sense of urgency, and that we would be the people who go. We would be the people who go and make you known, Lord, that all would hear this good news and come to know you. So Father, give us a boldness, give us a courage. Help us remember why we do this. Give us all that we need, Lord. We believe that you already are equipping us, but give us all that we need to go and be your messengers. So Father, we surrender any people that might have came to mind even just now to you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.